Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for Candle Nights, Night 1. This year we have a special treat, a series of stories that we dreamed up together. Join us every other night to hear the next chapter, and in between, we offer some bite-sized ways to stay connected.
So light a candle, grab something warm, sit back, and relax around the hearth.
Be welcome.
Happy Candle Nights! With this flame, let Candle Nights begin. Now remember, the story you tell these nights is but one of many, a single strand among a crowd, like a single star in the cosmos. It is both important and not important. It's a continuous web of time, space, and dimensions, and as storytellers, we pluck a string to hear the story that whispers back. Last night, we spoke of origins, and tonight's story is no different. It speaks of a time both before now and in the future. It speaks of events that have happened, are happening, and have yet to happen. It is a whisper, it is a dream, it is a reminder of what it means to be witch. It starts in a time of movement, of constant motion and production. It is a time when the trees are grown and cleaved in whole forests at a time, when the rivers are bound by the strength of man, the earth ripped asunder for the greed of oiled bones. It is a time where consumption reigns supreme, when streets fill cities and we construct buildings to scrape the sky. Like giants, we hoped we too could reach the stars. Our flying machines and our water machines and road machines begin to control the earth. Man gives way to machine. And it was during that time that a great sleep fell upon the earth. A slumber so deep, not all would wake. And in that slumber, that deep sleep, they imagined something new. And as they slept, the machines slowed to a halt, and the world fell to stillness. And as things creaked to a stop, the earth began to heal. In that, things that had disappeared began to reappear. Things long dormant began to awaken. And a future that did not exist was dreamed into being. A shared vision. And those that shared this dream began to wake. It is here on this strand in time that we find ourselves. This moment where four such dreamers' eyes flit open. Now, perhaps others also awoke during this time. It is the nature of the universe that such things are possible. But our strand speaks not of them. It speaks only of those that also shared in that same dream, a collective vision of hope. A witch with hair aflame, another with raven curls, one with strands of sun silk, and the last with hair like earth and loam, awaken from their slumber to discover things both changed and unchanged. Time had passed, but the impact on the natural world seemed to far outpace the possible length of slumber. As though the healing had happened in double time, the earth reclaiming what was took, quickly. Yet the impact of man and machine remained. Oil seeping into rivers from neglected machinery, the miles of trash and debris that had built up over decades of man and machine in control. Yet, glimmers of hope, highways and buildings where earth and animal have crept in. And as these witches woke up to this world and found themselves alone, they began to explore, driven by a dream. And so they set out, each step a lesson, a teaching, learning the small ways that they might begin to steward the land, how their actions weave and impact the world around them. They each, in their own way, began to write their story, collecting lost knowledge along the way, a glimpse of the potential, the reality of a dream still lingering. And at first, it seemed it would be a lonely dream. Each person along the way still deep in slumber, so deep there was no waking them. This time is filled with grief and sorrow. But as the moon rises, so does their hope and their dream. The universe has a way of bringing together what belongs together, and so it is with them. It has been many moons since their eyes had fluttered open, the seasons now in flux, winds bringing in the tides of change, and autumn adds a bite to the journey. The days are shorter now, darker, the tilt of the earth shifting as it leans away from the sun's bounty. It is then that they meet at the crossroads of seasons and roads and time. It seems a commonplace at first, this juncture of land, a river nearby, grasses bordered by a grove, a clearing, and a beginning. This meeting is startling and strange in nature, but in that moment, there is a recognition of one who has walked a similar path, one who shares a similar vision. After some awkward words of hello and surprise, they quickly settle in together here in this found space, this grove, these witches four. And so the one with flame of hair pulls out a small flask. The one with sun silk strands produces a small pinch of herbs, while the one with raven curls strikes a flame. And out comes a cauldron from the pouch of the one with the earthen mane. Together, under the autumnal stars, they sit and brew a cauldron of shared dreams. They spend the winter this way, each taking turns sharing their dream. And it isn't without conflict, but through this imagining together, they realize that the future is indeed in their hands, that as the world stands still, they must continue to weave forward, to build anew. It doesn't need to be perfect, but they knew they could do better than the world that was before. They could reshape the path forward. Or so they dreamed. And it isn't until the earth has frozen deep and the days are at their shortest that they knew that a dream could be more than just a dream. It is on a night, much like last night, where the long night stretches through the veil, where moonbeams create gateways to the ethereal. A witch with white hair, born of moonlight and age, found their way to the fire, a beacon in the night. Hearing their shared dream steps forward into the light, and in that moment, the witches realize they are not alone, that others have begun to wake. Together they continue to dream, to share space here at the crossroads. The frozen ground begins to thaw, and as spring fills the air, the plan is ready. The witches agree. Four will set out again to find others who have also woken from the long sleep. Four will go, and the fifth will stay, a keeper of the crossroads to keep the beacon lit, in case others find their way. And so the witches four set out, packs in hand, ready to take on the wakening world. At first, the journey feels easy, and while they find those that are still asleep, much like before, there is no waking them. And so they start lists of the names of those who may never wake. They will hold their memories and their stories safe. The journey, at first, is solemn, yet still they continue on. It is as the earth is heavy in bloom that they begin to find others, those waking and wandering, all with a shared dream. Witches with furry companions at heel, guardians with children in tow, lovers with partners in hand, siblings arm in arm. These warm nights, as summer skies glitter above, they all share in the dream. And as the sun rises on the world rebuilding itself, an invitation is extended, a promise made, to meet at the crossroads at the turning of the equinox. And so time passes. The autumn equinox arrives, as do the witches four, and many other new dreamers. These witches arrive in all shades and color of skin and glimmer of eyes, shapes, sizes, and self-expression, all with a shared vision of the future, one that leaves behind what must be left behind and embraces something new, something different. As the witches arrive each autumn equinox, winter over winter, this grove grows into a community. It is in those fall days when the darkness takes hold that they gather again in a circle around the hearth, each taking a turn to share in the dream and building their story. And these nights, again, aren't without tension and disagreements. The future isn't built on compliance. Like all witches, each one shares their own journey, their own perspective, their own spark. It is about learning to take those strands, and instead of picking just one or two, weaving them all together into a pattern, into a future, a reality shaped with intention and care. It is over these winter fires they begin to agree on a plan, a path forward. Spring returns and the witches set off to return to the wilderness, to learn, to explore, and in search of other dreamers waking with the same dream. But no matter how far they have journeyed, no matter how they had settled, the witches return to the crossroads each equinox to share their stories, their experiences, their hopes. Because at our hearts, witch is a dreamer, one who can imagine something different, and through that imagining, weave it into existence. But that is a story for another time. The strand of this web whispers of a continued dreaming, one that brings hope on hard days, one that imagines not a perfect world, but a better one. So the dreamers continue to dream. And back at the crossroads, the witches five, one with raven curls, another with strands of fire, one with sun-touched mane, another with locks of earth and loam, and the last with hair of silver moonlight, heads together, begin to look outward at the world that had moved on from man and machine. Yet the pattern wasn't complete. They knew that they were missing some thread in the web, that all the witches together still hadn't solved for that missing piece to weave the next steps. Without it, it would always just be a dream, a plan on paper. The witches five took turns exploring and studying, searching for those missing links, that forgotten puzzle piece. The grove brought book after book, journal after journal, all in search for knowledge that seemed lost. Now, what the witches do not yet know is that not all strands of this web are woven with human hands, but instead include ones that mark their world with paw, hoof, fin, wing, scale, and song. The dream, for it to work, would need all the dreamers.
How do you find a common dream through conflict? A way to this utopia?
Not utopia, protopia.
What's the difference?
Well, utopia implies perfection, a sterile world. A protopia is one where we can exist in balance, where we work through conflict together rather than in the absence of it.
It's still a lot of work. It just doesn't deny that there will be a struggle.
Why don't we hear many protopian stories?
Well, it's very easy to assume the worst. It's an absence of work, of care. And we like to tell doomsday stories.
But the stories we tell have an impact.
They do.
The stories we tell become the dreams we manifest.